going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. I am broadcasting live from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm still out here in Hawaii chilling. But we're still going to chop up some good game as we always do. So I need everybody to hit that thumbs up button, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Ladies and gentlemen, let everybody know it's real. Today's topic, we're going to ask the question, is Unity overrated? That's going to be the topic of today's broadcast. So put your thinking caps on. We're going to go heavy. We're going to go deep with this one. But we're going to take that real quick commercial break. So you do not move a muscle. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game, and I want to tell you about my documentary, Game Kings, The Definition of Game, starring myself, the boss Mac Top Soil, Rosebud, Ron Wills, Miles Cunningham, and much more. In this documentary, you're going to learn about confidence, manhood, attracting women, and the definition of the game. To get this documentary, go to MrLocario.com. That's MrLocario.com. MrLocario.com.
What's going on, family? Are you looking for a job right now, or you know somebody who is in need of a job? Then visit acandle.com. Due to COVID-19 right now, so many millions of people are out of work, and acandle.com has online jobs where you can work right now from your own home. Don't wait. Go to acandle.com right now so you can find your online job. That's A-K-A-N-D-L-E.com.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed, available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack, and the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get the Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Wingy Apparel is the latest fly and revolutionary streetwear to hit the market. Wingy is a Swahili word that means abundance. Wingy Apparel is designed to promote abundance for the culture. The 100% black-owned streetwear collection consists of t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats. Be sure to order your hoodie now and get a 15% discount at wingyapparel.com. Remember, all hoodies is not created equal. wingyapparel.com.
Have you been gaining a lot of weight since the COVID-19 pandemic? Ladies and gentlemen, do you have a weak upper body? Ladies, do you feel insecure when a man looks at you from behind because you feel like your butt isn't round enough? If you answer yes to any of these questions, Salomon's Fitness World can help you achieve your fitness goals. Salomon offers customized online personal training, makes and sells ankle, booty, and power resistance bands to strengthen, stretch, and tone your whole body. Order your resistance bands now at SolomonsFitnessWorld.com. Enter discount code Tariq to save 15% on your bundle order. www.SolomonsFitnessWorld.com.
Are you tired of nerdy platforms that refuses to acknowledge white supremacy and geek culture? Do you seek a black nerd podcast that covers topics like anime, video games, movies, and TV shows, and other topics that black nerds can relate to? Then you need to check out the podcast, The Swarthy Nerd, at swarthynerd.com. Join the host, the TV guru, and Yuki the Snowman every Tuesday on their mission to provide empowerment to black nerds everywhere. So that is swarthynerd.com. Swarthy is spelled WARTHY, swarthynerd.com.
Have you ever thought about getting into credit repairing? We have everything you need to start a life-changing credit repair business. Zero experience needed. This software makes it incredibly easy to launch, run, and grow your very own profitable credit repair business, or to add an entirely new revenue stream to your existing business. Run your own credit repair business effortlessly. 100% risk-free trial with no hassle, one-click cancellation at any time. Go to fixcreditsoftware.com. That's fixcreditsoftware.com.
As foundational Black Americans, we're getting closer to receiving our tangibles, but white supremacists are becoming increasingly more aggressive. So it's important that we as a collective of Black people protect ourselves in hostile and vulnerable situations. Go visit the website darkblack.me and purchase the gun safety training and marksmanship instruction videos right now. That's darkblack.me right now. Listen up, family. It's a new year, and On Code Clothing is the refresh for your winter wardrobe. On Code Clothing offers a full line of Black empowerment-themed apparel. Everything from sweatshirts to hoodies to scullies and long sleeves. If you're already on code, stay there. And if you're not on code, get there at OnCodeClothing.com. Remember, this is not for everyone. This is all Black and exclusive, and it's a melanated brand that you need to tap into today. When you go to OnCodeClothing.com, use the discount code TariqRadio at checkout and save for a limited time at OnCodeClothing.com. Check out the brand new book, Reporting Live from Jim Crow, Ida B. Wells. It's a brand new book by author E.J. Wade. This book destroys the sanitized narrative of Ida B. Wells, and it presents her as the foundational Black American hero that she really was. This book also accurately covers the overthrow of Reconstruction, and it talks about the events that led to the removal of our sister Ida B. Wells from history. So check out this book right now, Reporting Live from Jim Crow, available now at Amazon.com, paperback, or Kindle. Are you looking for a 100% natural beard product that cleans the skin under your beard and it stimulates growth? Then check out Beard Tree Oil and Herbs, LLC. They promote healthy beards over everything. They offer a full line of products including beard and face wash, balm oil, mist, and detox. So treat yourself to the Beard Tree 3 package, which includes the wash, balm, oil for just $25. For best results, check out the Beard Tree 5 that includes all five products for just $50. So check this out all at BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com. That's BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com, or follow them on Facebook and Instagram at Beard Tree Oils and Herbs.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave an op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at OldGoonJuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground, so you can feel free when you out in the town. Old Goon Juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I say, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
Oh, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. We are back. Glad to have everybody tuning in to Tariq Radio. I'm your host, Tariq Nasheed, broadcasting live out here in Hawaii still, the lovely Honolulu, Hawaii. I've run into a lot of Black people out here visiting. A lot of Black people out here. Not only visiting, I ran into Black people out here who've moved out here. I was walking earlier, just getting a little sun and exercise, and a few brothers and sisters like, "Hey, Tariq, what you doing out here?" So it's good to see brothers and sisters getting their travel on out here. And a lot of folks, again, are moving out here, which is very interesting. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot of stuff we're going to touch on today's broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, don't forget to go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1 through 5. It is still Black History Month, so you still need to get that Black History game at HiddenColorsFilm.com. And the movie Buck Breaking is coming soon, ladies and gentlemen. Buck Breaking is definitely coming soon. A lot of stuff we're going to touch on. The question of today, guys, is the concept of unity overrated? Is unity overrated? The concept of unity, the ideology of unity overrated? I really want to unpack this because And I talked about this on the broadcast the other day. When it comes to other groups, everything is about them getting something for their group at the exclusion of not just Black people, but particularly foundational Black Americans. When other groups are getting things for their group, they make a point not to let us in that mix at all. When Asians get something for themselves, it is for Asians. When it's time to give Latinos things for themselves, they have all types of set-asides and benefits. The Arab community, they have all types of set-asides and benefits exclusively for them. The white LGBT community, set-asides for them. Let's be very clear. The set-asides and goodies are for them. There is no Black LGBT community. Black people are mascots for the white LGBT community. There is no Black LGBT community because the Black people who claim LGBT, they don't own or control any of the resources. This is why y'all need to wake up. My brothers and sisters out here who are on some us LGBT family, y'all better get off that. They don't include you. You're just the mascot. The white LGBT community, they've set up infrastructures where they get all types of money and they let you parade yourself around, and the money is collected by them. They'll throw you a crumb or two to go out there to protest, but there is no Black LGBT community, no institutions or anything where resources are distributed and handled by Black LGBT people at all. They treat y'all just like the straight white community treats Black people, as second-class citizens. Black LGBT people, they think if they claim LGBT, they're somehow separate from the rest of Black society, and you run right back into the same anti-Black racism from the white LGBT community. You see? I played a video the other day. I posted it on my social media. There was a Black trans dude talking to a kid, and the kid was asking him like, hey, are you a girl or a guy? And I don't know why he was talking to this kid, but it was a very interesting exchange. And then the Black trans dude got a little hostile with the kid. The kid was like, well, you know, God made you a girl. How come you just didn't want to be a girl? And then the trans dude, well, are you God? And see, this is the thing I don't like. Because when they start trying to teach this stuff in schools, there's going to be that same hostility to our children. Because see, the name of the game boils down to dominance. Some of the stuff that they try to teach as far as quote unquote LGBT history is so insanely illogical. And when you question the illogical ideology behind it, they become very hostile and accusatory and low-key start trolling. And that's a tactic that they use. They use shaming tactics. Like if you start questioning, and I've questioned people on social media, if you're going to teach LGBT history, what exactly are you going to be teaching our children? Because we're talking about kids who are 7, 8, 9. Hell, I heard in California, they're going to start teaching preschool children about LGBT history and studies. I completely disagree with that. I'm not with that at all. And a lot of Black people are afraid to say, hey, time out on that. What are you teaching babies about that for? Well, if you guys say that, that makes you transphobic or homophobic. No, that makes me question, what are you teaching these children exactly? Because are you going to start accusing the children of being transphobic and homophobic? Because that's what it's going to boil down to. The energy is going to be hostile to these children. I told people this is where the shit is going to go. And I'm not cool with that. When you start teaching kids about LGBT, you're eventually going to talk about sexual behavior because that's the undertone to it. It ain't about gender. It boils down to sexual behavior. Because when you talk about LGBT, when those kids start asking, what are those letters? And then you start talking about bisexual and all that. Well, what's a bisexual? You see, they try to play little trick words, just like with transsexual. First, it was a transvestite. Then they turned it into transsexual. Then they went to the think tanks and said, okay, let's just use transgender to try to take the word sex out of it. But see, they can't remix the bisexual part. See, there's no such thing as a bi-gender. So you got that bisexual word there. So how do you remix that? You can't really remix it. And when children ask, hey, what the hell is a bisexual? What's a bisexual, teacher? What do you tell them? You understand? No, this is a legitimate question for parents. I'm a parent of children. So when you start teaching 5 and 6 year olds what a damn bisexual is, what do you say? And when you ask people who are pro LGBT history in school, they start babbling and trolling and getting hostile. No, that's the problem that I have. Are you going to be hostile with these children? How are you going to explain it to them? Are you going to lie? What are you going to do? Or are you going to trick bag the kids? Like, well, a bisexual, well, that's a person who likes both men and women. Okay. You mean like how I like my mommy and my daddy? Yeah, kind of like that. Oh, so does that mean I'm bisexual? Do you feel bisexual, little Billy? Yeah, if you say that being a bisexual means you like men and you like women, well, I like my mommy and I like my daddy. Well, I guess you are bisexual, Billy. Oh, cool. You see what I'm saying? It goes into that type of thing. It gets into that. That's where this shit is gonna go. You understand? It's gonna be a bunch of confusion, and that ain't cool. And there's a lot of black people who are afraid to speak out against it because you're afraid they're gonna start saying, okay, you homophobic or transphobic. No. I want to know what's going to be taught. And they're already trying to teach stuff about, see, they have to piggyback black people onto this thing. And I want y'all to understand, black people, understand when you're being used to be the face of something so that the backlash can hit you. Just like with this voting thing. When they pulled this voting finesse, they made black people the face of the voting finesse. So you throw black people out there and talk about, oh yes, black people saved this election. Black people did this. It was black people. So the backlash comes back on black people. Just like with this LGBT stuff, they put black people out there as the mascots. They keep talking about black trans matter and all this stuff, which the white LGBT community can give less than a damn about black transgender people. They don't care nothing about them. They just use them as a tool to facilitate money and resources going to white LGBT organizations. But they put all of this story time, transgender story time, a drag queen story time, and all of this black trans and black LGBT people, they put them out there to be the face of this stuff. They start latching on LGBT history to black history. See, they put black people's face on it. They get a black mayor like Lori Lightfoot. They put her out there to be the face of this stuff. And they teach it in schools. And then they teach white kids this stuff too. Because understand, some of this LGBT agenda, it's to undermine white families as well. That's the trick bag some of y'all alt-right, well, some of the right-wing white people are realizing this. But they're trying to undermine families in general so they can control people. But black people in particular, they really got to put extras on black folks. So when they're trying to indoctrinate white children as well, the face of this stuff is black people. So the white parents, there's a lot of hostility towards black LGBT people and black people in general. See, we got to understand the game out here. When white liberals make black folks the face of a lot of things so that black people can get the blowback, while the white people can gain all the benefits from it. You in? That's the trick bag. But the thing is, we got to understand, and everybody hit that like button, hit the thumbs up button while you're in here. A lot of folks in here, hit that thumbs up button, ladies and gentlemen, hit the thumbs up button, hit the thumbs up button, hit the thumbs up button. Yeah. Hit the thumbs up button, ladies and gentlemen. So we're talking about, is unity overrated? Like I said, when it comes to black people, everybody is all about their resources. Everybody is all about getting something for their group. But the minute black people get some spotlight, when the focus is on us, all of a sudden, we get talk about unity. We get talk about diversity. we get all of these vague terms thrown at us that don't mean anything. We're told that we have to unify with everybody. We're told that we all got to get together with everybody. We're one big global happy family. We got to stop racism by everybody getting together. So when they talk this unity and diversity stuff to help combat anti-Black racism, and then they start talking about extrapolating resources or handing down resources, because we didn't play the unity game, everybody gets dibs at the resources meant for us. Just like in the 60s when they said, okay, we need to correct Jim Crow with affirmative action, but we're not just going to give it to Black people, because look, all of us are one big happy family. We're all about unity. We're unified now. So let's just give it to everybody. And that's the trick. And Black folks, they've made us so desperate for acceptance from other people. We're out here hurting and we don't get anything. We get the crumbs left over from everybody else getting our resources. You understand? Shout out to my brother RZA, because my brother RZA texted me earlier and we were talking about this. My brother slightly disagreed with some of the ideology about unity being overrated, which I respect my brother's opinion. And I'm explaining what unity being overrated means to us as Black people, because unity, that is a term that is deliberately given to Black people so that we can dissipate our resources. Unity, and just like hope, hope is an empty term. See, when it comes to us, when it comes to our political game, they throw these symbolic words out that don't mean anything. When Obama was running and Black people needed resources, but Obama, his whole thing was hope. Oh, we gonna have hope. We got hope. We got Obama in office in record numbers. More black people voted for Obama than anybody. They try to make it seem like Black people went out here and voted for Biden. Family, Black people did not vote for Biden in those strong numbers. They just didn't. This election was such a major finesse. Family, at the Super Bowl, when they showed Biden and his wife, do y'all know everybody booed? Did y'all see that? When they showed Biden and his wife during the Super Bowl last week, the whole audience started booing. They were booing the hell out of him. You understand? They were booing the hell out of Biden. Biden did not get all that support. That was a finesse. But the thing is, when it comes to Black people, they throw that unity word out there. And they never answer the question, who are we unifying with? They don't ever add, we never get to the who, what, how, where. Yeah? Who are we unifying with? We never get to that question. Who are we unifying with? Okay. We're unifying with everybody. And that's one trick bag. How are we unifying with people? What do we do? How do we unify with people? Do we all get together in a room? Do we all get in a car? Do we all form a circle? How do we unify? Who do we unify with? How do we unify? See, we never get down to the bones of it. Who are we unifying with and how? If we all march down the street, are we unified? If we all go meet at a church, are we unified? I mean, what? Where are we unifying? Where and how? Where do we go to unify? How do we unify? And the major question that's never answered, what are we unifying for? What is the purpose of us unifying? What exactly when we unify? Okay, we done took care of the how. We're going to unify by all getting into a room. All right, we're back live, guys. We had some technical issues, but it is what it is. That happens. I don't know. It got turned off. It got cut off, but we're back. All right, let's get back to what we were talking about, ladies and gentlemen. We might get cut off again, but I'm still playing. I'm still recording on the back end, so you're going to hear this nonetheless. I just like for everybody to hear it live. But anyway, we're still here. We're talking about the word unity. What does unity mean? When people talk about how Black people, we need to unify, We need to be unified. We need unity. And nobody never really talks about what exactly we need to do this unifying. What exactly does that mean? Who do we unify with? Why do we unify? Where are we going to unify? What does all of this mean? We never get to the who, what, when, where. We never get down to the nitty-gritty of it. And there's a reason. That's by design. See, the word unity and the term unity is thrown out there. It is thrown out there to finesse Black people. It is thrown out there to undermine our efforts of getting tangible so that we can be empowered. Our thing, we have to start changing the language. We have to start changing the language. Black folks, we don't need other groups to help us do anything because they're not going to help us do anything anyway. Let's be very clear. See, this unity talk, that gives us the dangling carrot that someday some other groups are going to have some come to Jesus moment and start helping us. And that's just not going to happen. Nobody's going to help us. They haven't done it yet, and they're not going to do it. They're not going to help us collectively. I'm not talking about one or two people who y'all get some interracial sex from somebody and you think that's some kind of help or that's some kind of unity. And that's another thing. Y'all Negroes out here who do all this racial showcasing when you get interracial sex. Every day I'm looking at, I find some Sambo or some bed wench on the TikTok app. They done got them a TikTok page or a YouTube channel. The minute y'all lay up with a white person, y'all go make a YouTube channel like, hey, look at me. Look how different and edgy we are. That's racial showcasing, as our brother Neely Fuller talked about. That's just niggas samboing it up. Like, hey, look at me. I'm safe now. I got a white person here, so I'm safe. These white people are not helping you. They're giving you sonic satisfaction, sonic benefits. They're satisfying your coon desires. You understand? It's very annoying to see all of these sambo-ass racial showcasing pages like, hey, what's it like dating interracially? How's it dealing with the families? Who gives a shit? How many resources do you have? How many tangibles are you getting? Is your spouse or your mate going to stop race soldiers? Is that unity? See, that's what a lot of these Negroes think. They think laying up with some white person is some form of unity. No, it's not. See, we all got together. I lay up with Becky. Showing everybody, how come everybody just can't find them a good Becky and lay up with them? Ain't nothing wrong with it. All white peoples ain't bad. That's not unity. See, a lot of people are scared of empowerment. You can't be afraid of empowerment. We're going to have to change the language. We need to be about Black empowerment, specifically foundational Black Americans. We got to be all about Black empowerment. So no matter what you do at the end of the day, you're still going to be trying to get empowerment. Somebody in the room said, what about FBA dating non-FBA? Nigga, are you all about empowerment though? Because number one, you dating whatever, that's not going to change your FBA status. That's not going to change your damn lineage. Y'all got to stop talking like being a foundational Black American is the same thing as being in a damn ADOS club. ADOS is a club where you can join and quit and you got to look for leadership and all that stupid shit. Nigga, whatever you do, when you wake up, you're a foundational Black American. You go to sleep, you're a foundational Black American if that's your lineage. It's no thing. It's nothing to argue about. That's nothing to argue about. The name of the game is just being on code with other foundational Black Americans. The name of the game is being on code. Are you goddamn on code? No matter what you do at the end of the day, are you talking about empowering and getting resources for the foundational Black American community based on your lineage? That's what this shit is about. Because see, other groups, see, we've been playing this game with these folks, and other groups are actively working against us right now. Family, what they're doing now with Asians, now that they got Kamala in office right now, and understand Kamala Harris identifies as Asian. All those East Indians, they identify as Asian. They played that sister girl, she's Black and Asian. No, you're not. That woman identifies as Asian, and what we're seeing now, They're doing things specifically for Asian people, and now they're giving Asians special protection against anti-Asian racism. They're giving Asians special protection now, executive orders, and now what we see now, family, we're seeing a bunch of manufactured cases where some people are quote-unquote attacking some Asian people, and it's being blamed on black society. We're seeing this. This is what they're working on now. What they're doing now, and you got a lot of Asian celebrities like Lisa Ling and a lot of Asian actors and actresses and activists right now behind the scenes. I'm telling black people what to look out for. They're putting together more knockout game propaganda against black people, but they're using Asian people as the victims. They're creating a narrative now. In the Asian community, with the help of the white media, you're going to start hearing a lot of this coming soon, that black people are plotting and planning to go out here attacking, to attack helpless, random Asian people. They're working on this right now. There's a reason why they put that executive order to protect Asians from racism. That racism they're pointing to is coming from so-called black people. They're saying that black people are the ones who's racist against Asians. Let's be clear. They're not going to do anything to white people. They're not going to do a goddamn thing to white people because of anti-Asian racism coming from white people, because the Asian community are trying to, too many of them hook up with the alt-right and all of these Richard Spencers. They love white people. So they're not about to punish any white people. All of these executive orders are going to be directed at black people. And they're getting the narrative together now, just like they did with the knockout game. And I was warning people back in 2013, 2014 about that knockout game propaganda. See, y'all don't take this lightly, guys. Don't take it lightly. I told people, whenever they start doing this propaganda where they're showing videos of random black people attacking white folks or attacking Asians, they're deliberately setting up a narrative. With that knockout game, that was a fake crime wave that they were blaming on black people so that they could justify the murders of black people. I was screaming at the top of my lungs, black folks, beware of this propaganda. This is propaganda. What they would do back in 2013, they would get random videos from all over the place of somebody punching a white person, and they were saying that black people were going around playing a game with each other called the knockout game, which was totally false. No, black people are not running around here playing some knockout game. They were getting videos from like 10 years ago and 5 years. I mean, they were just getting a whole bunch of random clips showing black people randomly attack white folks. And they were saying that this was some type of centralized, agreed upon game that the black community is all in on. And I kept telling people the media has manufactured a black boogeyman narrative because they're setting us up. And sure enough, it started with Mike Brown and Trayvon Martin. But it really started with Mike Brown. They used that propaganda to justify Zimmerman killing Trayvon Martin. They used that propaganda to justify Mike Brown getting killed by that race soldier. Because remember, with the Mike Brown story, what did they say? They said that Mike Brown walked up to the cop and tried to knock him out. That was part of that knockout game propaganda. That's why white supremacist society felt it was justified to kill him and other black people by proxy. We better understand propaganda when we see it. They're doing the same thing now with Asians. They're showing these random video clips of Asian people getting pushed down. So they're deputizing Asian people now. So if Asian people start killing random black people, they're going to get off. They're already setting it up so they can get off right now. They're already setting it up so that Asian people can get off. They're not going to be punished if they start shooting black people just like they did Latasha Harlings back in the 90s. See, they're giving Asian people protection. They're giving them that Peter Liang protection, see? They're giving them that buffer class Peter Liang protection. So we better understand propaganda when we see it. This game is real and this game is heavy. And we better understand that we have no friends out here. There is no unity with all these other groups. And the stories that we're seeing, guys, of these black people, particularly up in the Bay Area, going around hitting Asian people and pushing Asian people down, that's propaganda within itself. From what I understand up there in the Bay Area, it was one dude going around pushing elderly Asian people down. He was just running around randomly, pushing down random Asian people. It made zero sense. It literally made no sense whatsoever for this dude to go around pushing down random Asian people. It made absolutely no sense. And they arrested this black dude. It was a black dude doing this stuff up in the Bay Area. His name is something Muslim. What, his name is a real weird name. So sounds like he's some immigrant dude. Sounds like he's some mentally ill immigrant from somewhere. But this is the thing. It looked like the same guy going around doing all of these crimes against Asian people. The crimes were real random and strange. He would go around, push an old Asian person down and just walk off, which was weird. And let's be clear, black people are not sitting around plotting on pushing down some random Asian person. What it looks like somebody paid this dude to go around pushing people so that it would be caught on camera. Because what's very interesting, all of these so-called attacks on Asian people, they're just miraculously caught on camera very clearly. All of these quote-unquote attacks are done right in front of a damn security camera. I mean, they got clear shots of the Asian man and the black man, the Asian victims and the black dude pushing and assaulting these people. All the shots are just crystal clear. Now, what are the odds of people getting assaulted and your assaults are just crystal clear on random security videos? That right there makes it look like it's orchestrated by some people on the top, particularly some people in law enforcement, because this is going to justify them getting big budgets in order to target black folks. You better understand, we have a white supremacist police apparatus in this country that's corrupt to the core. They manufacture crimes so that they can justify targeting black people. This shit looks so manufactured and fake and put together. So all of these Asian attacks are just miraculously done on film, done on camera, with clear views. So now they got their narrative that black people are going around attacking these poor, helpless Asian people. So now this gets the attention of all the anti-black racism. And you got all of these Asian activists sounding like the alt-right now. Oh, we got to do something. If black lives matter, how come Asian lives don't matter? They're saying little stuff like that using little dog whistles. Now, these folks they weren't talking about speaking out against racism when their community all gathered together to protect Peter Liang for harming a black person. Their community didn't speak out against all of these Asian men beating up black women and stomping them out in beauty salons and hair salons and beauty shops. They don't speak out against all that anti-black racism in their own home countries, over in China, Japan, where you see black people being discriminated against openly in these countries, and in India too. They don't speak out against this stuff. But one or two manufactured, isolated incidents where some cuckoo bird who look like they've been paid, they go around pushing Asian people around. All of a sudden, we got to stop the presses. They got a task force. They got executive orders, the whole shebang. See, this is white supremacist society deputizing their buffer class. They're deputizing their buffer classes out here. So we got to understand the game. And again, they're doing this with Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris is fully on board with it. Remember, Kamala Harris identifies as Asian. This woman, y'all sat up here and played that black sister girl she went to an HBCU. That don't mean a damn thing. You are who nurtured you. This woman was nurtured by Asian society. Her mama was Asian. Her mama was the one who nurtured her. She's going to have the same outlook and views as a lot of the people within Asian society, particularly East Indian society over there in Asia. Just like Obama. Obama was nurtured by white people. A white male in particular. He was really raised for a long time by his white grandfather. So he has the same views that were nurtured into him by his white grandpappy. This is why he could benign neglect the black community. You understand? So when we talk about unity, do we unify with the Asian community? See, we played that game for a long time. See, now black people, y'all sat up here on some unity game supporting the Asian community. You're the ones who support their beauty supply stores. Black people, your unity, you're the one who funds their nail shops. Y'all always in the nail shop with your big assy fucking feet all in the air. Sitting up there getting your feet done by the Asians, funding them, giving them all the wealth and resources they need to turn on you. See, we got to stop doing that. I'm tired of funding people, talking about unity, and these same people that we fund turn around and talk about how we're treating them so bad and how we need to be punished after we done gave them all the money and the resources that they have to punish us. Unity is overrated. Unity is highly overrated. You understand? Unity is very underrated. And it's underrated when it comes to a lot of non-FBA too. That's another thing, family. We're going to have to tell the truth and shame the devil. A lot of this unity is overrated when it comes to talking about hooking up on some Pan-Africanism. Let's be real. This Pan-African thing is just not working, guys. It's not working. It's one-sided. Pan-Africanism means everybody comes over here and eats off us and then turns on us. It is very underrated. It is highly underrated, family. Over there in Michigan, there's a new coon Republican from Nigeria. They didn't send him over here, and he's trying to run for governor over there in Nigeria. And remember, these Negroes come over here, and they understand they have to kiss up to white people by throwing black people under the bus. This Sambo was talking about if he gets elected, he's going to do away with Black History Month because it's divisive and it's offensive to other groups who needs to be celebrated too. This Sambo hopped off the boat cooning. He's running for governor out there, but really, this is a Negro who's using all the anti-black talking points so he can get him a bag. That's the name of the game. Family, we have to acknowledge that in the Caribbean and in Africa, there's a lot of cool brothers and sisters over there. Unfortunately, there is a pool of coons who are just itching and scratching to get their asses over here to throw us under the bus. That's just a reality. And we just don't have time to try to sift through who's a coon and who's not a coon. And when we point this out, we got a lot of foreign Sambos telling us, well, y'all niggas, don't be divisive. That is just one nigga. No, he's just not one nigga. It's too many of y'all coming over here with the coon bag. You're not about unity. You damn right. I don't want to unify with foreign coons. You're damn right. Unity is overrated. See, we get told we need to unify with all these different groups, and I just don't want to unify with these folks. There's too many coons out here. We have to focus first on foundational Black Americans. For the most part, enough of us are on code to make a difference. There are enough foundational Black Americans on code to make a difference that we need to just kind of stick to what we're doing and stay on code with each other so we can build our resources up before we do anything with any of the people. That's the reality. Foundational Black Americans, we need to focus on our resources as our own distinct lineage and group first. We can't help all these other folks because too many folks are trying to undermine us. That's a harsh reality. The only people at this moment that I really want to unify with are other foundational Black Americans first, who are all about building wealth and an economic base and a protective base against white supremacy. Look, we already got riffraffs within our society. We got hood rats and dusty niggas that we have to keep at bay. See, the thing about our domestic coons and our domestic sambos and our domestic mammies, see, they never really rise to any prominent positions. They're just on the peripheral of Black society. So they're not that much of a threat to us. See, we knew with our domestic coons and riffraffs, you know, we kind of have them at bay. You know, they're more of a nuisance more than anything, but they really don't have any type of real legitimate say-so about what goes on with our everyday lives. Like the Jesse Lee Petersons, he's not taken seriously. He's not in any kind of serious position. The Diamond and Silks, they're not in really any type of serious position. The problem is this: when they bring in foreign sambos, this is the problem. They start putting them in very powerful positions. They put these folks as vice presidents and presidents and congressional Black caucus members, where their coon-ass decisions has an effect on our daily lives, and their off-code behavior, it has an effect on us. See, Diamond and Silk, they're not a part of no really big political agenda, but some of these foreign coons are, and that's the problem. White supremacist society, they specifically get these Negroes and they put them in these positions because we don't know where they come from. See, with the domestic coons, somebody's going to know about their cooning on their way coming up. Somebody's going to know their mama, their cousin. You know, somebody's going to know something about their cooning on the way up, and that cooning is going to get put in check. See, when we get a foreign coon who comes from, just pops up out of nowhere, we don't know anything about where this nigga grew up. We don't know what school he went to. We don't know anything about him. He just kind of went, bypassed the screening process of Black society, and just popped up, and they put him in a position. See, that's the problem. That's why they're so dangerous, because white supremacist society, they know who they are over there in Nigeria and Ghana and all. They know exactly who these coons are. These coons are sitting out there at the green card office with a MAGA hat on, with some tap shoes and a bowl of Jollof, ready to come over here and throw us under the bus. And white supremacist society said, okay, bring him to the front of the line to get a green card. They know who to get, because they look at the Negroes who didn't destroy those societies and countries over there. They look at them and say, okay, we need that Negro over here to do the same thing to Black Americans. See, they know what they're doing. You see? And see, when these coons come over here, they get mad because we call them out. And then talk about divisiveness. Oh, we're all the same, nigga. We're all the same. We're one people. See, when somebody's cooning it up, they want us to be all the same. When somebody's doing some riffraff shit, we all supposed to be the same. But when somebody, again, a foreigner does something that's somewhat positive, they want to make it a point to make sure you put their African or Caribbean identity before anything. Y'all see the case going on right now with the Gorilla Glue girl, the girl who put some damn Gorilla Glue on her head. This fool-ass clown put some Gorilla Glue on her head and her hair got stuck. Well, there was a doctor out here in Beverly Hills. They then flew her to Beverly Hills and she went out there, and there was a doctor who got the glue out of her hair. It was a Black doctor. And boy, all the Jollof Twitter, Jerk Chicken Twitter, all everybody online, because we see who the tethers are when somebody foreign does something positive. We see who the tethers are, especially on the Shade Room and all that. In the Shade Room comments, they were making it a point to specify he was Ghanaian. All say his name. He's Ghanaian. Yay! They were cheering and all putting Ghana flags all over the place because this dude got the glue out this woman's hair. Oh, Africa, stand up. Africa to the rescue. Africa saves the day. I mean, they were really putting extras on this doctor getting the glue out this hood rat's head. I mean, they were really going overboard with this thing. Well, look at Africa. No, y'all better say it. It's Ghana. Make sure you say Ghana. It's Ghana. Now, he's Ghanaian, the Ghanaian king. Ghana to the rescue. I mean, they were really going extra. I'm like, boy, hey, I thought that specifying your ethnicity was a bad thing. I thought if you specified your ethnicity as a black person, that was negative. I mean, what happened to all of y'all were calling foundational black Americans divisive and we're not about unity by specifying our foundational black American lineage? I thought that was divisive. Oh, y'all niggas, oh, you niggas are just mad. The doctor was Ghanaian. If it was a foundational black American doctor, you would be celebrating too. Not really. No, we wouldn't. Because number one, foundational black Americans, we've already made all types of strides in the medical community, in the medical field. We've made all types of strides and firsts and innovative surgeries. We've already done a lot of amazing things in the medical industry. Open heart surgery. I mean, we've been there, done that. We don't really have to set the bar so low to celebrate a doctor taking some damn glue out of a hood rat's head. You understand? Because see, remember a couple of days ago, there was another story that was circulating online. This Ghanaian caretaker was taking care of this white woman, and this white woman was throwing shit at her, and the white woman was spitting on her, and everybody was like, okay, she cannot be a foundational black American letting that happen. And sure enough, there's another video of this woman dancing to some African music with the white woman who didn't spit all on her. So it come to find out this caretaker was a Ghanaian chick who's letting this white woman just treat her like shit, like a damn slave. So people got mad when folks were pointing out that woman getting spit on, letting this white woman do all types of vile things to her. People were calling foul that people were saying, hey, she's Ghanaian. She's not a foundational black American. Oh, that's divisive. That's divisive. No unity. Y'all niggas, no unity. No. We got to keep that same energy all across the board. And speaking of that, the chick with the damn gorilla glue, you look, because I know a lot of people have asked me about that and what I thought about that. Let me tell you something. This woman put that damn gorilla glue on her head like a goddamn fool. And you know, the white media got a hold of this and they're really promoting this. And a lot of people were following this story. The white media got a hold of it because, see, this they want to promote this. This is the stereotype of black people being dumb as hell. They like to promote that stereotype, the stereotype of the dumb, childlike black person. This is something that reinforces white supremacist stereotypes. This goofy-ass woman putting this gorilla glue in her hair, getting her hair stuck. This is that grown child shit that we have in the hood. We got a lot of hood rats and dusty niggas out here who are basically grown children. You get into mischief. You get yourself in a tither in order to get attention. You do some stupid shit to yourself in order to get attention. My sons do stuff like that. Mateo, he'll get stuck behind a couch. Dad, I'm stuck. Come get me. Help, Dad. I'm stuck behind the couch. Come get me. Y'all seen videos. Mateo put his head in a chair and get his head stuck. Help, Dad. My head is stuck in a chair. Oh, it's like, look at me. This is how I get attention. Look at me, look at me, look at me. This is why she's gluing her hair down and then filming it and she's crying and they're struggling to get her hair out. And then they got to go fund me up. And then she went and got a manager. So now somebody's managing her now. So white supremacist society, they love promoting this because what they're doing is saying, hey, niggas, do more stupid shit and we'll give you shine. So that will encourage more stupid shit from Negroes. And sure enough, there's other copycat Negroes out here gluing their lips together. There's some other fool-ass clowns that done got some glue and they done glued their lips together. They done glued other parts of their bodies together trying to be copycats because they see how much attention this hood rat has gotten. They know there's a lot of goofy, childlike Negroes in our society. And we're just reduced to doing anything for attention. It's a sad thing. But we got to call that stuff out. I don't want to unify with that either. See, the thing is, there's a lot of hood rats and dusty niggas in foundational black American society that I don't want to unify with. See, I'm all about excluding a whole bunch of fucking people. Yeah, we don't need, we're not gonna really build nothing with the damn Gorilla Glue girl. What the fuck are we gonna build with that? I'm trying to build communities and empires to protect ourselves from white supremacy. We're not gonna do that with the goddamn Gorilla Glue girl. People doing stupid shit like that. We gotta just keep it real. We can't normalize stupid shit. We can't be the people where stupid shit is just a part of the culture. That's not it. That ain't it. That's slavery again. In slavery, people would just do anything sometimes. You're stuck, you don't know what to do. Let me just do anything. Let me run in a circle. Let me glue my ass cheeks together. Let me just do something, something different. Because I'm stuck here. That's a jailhouse mentality. Let's just do anything. So we got to get off that. And we got to get focused on a damn agenda. That's why that unity thing doesn't work if we don't have an agenda. Unifying without an agenda means absolutely nothing. We got to have an agenda with everything we do. Because again, they're sending over people to literally replace us. This is why, did y'all see that trailer for the TV show? There's a TV movie about Aretha Franklin that Ron Howard and another white producer put together. Now, the theatrical film about Aretha Franklin is going to be Jennifer Hudson playing Aretha Franklin. There's a theatrical film coming out where Aretha Franklin handpicked Jennifer Hudson to play her. There was a reason why she did that. Aretha Franklin didn't play no games. Aretha Franklin was a real one. But what they did, they're doing this TV movie that's coming out in a couple of months, and they got Cynthia Erivo playing Aretha Franklin. The trailer looks horrible. As we know, Cynthia Erivo, we know her views on foundational Black Americans, but let's just take that out of the mix for a minute. There's absolutely no logical reason, number one, for them to do a TV movie about Aretha Franklin, knowing that a theatrical film is coming out. The only reason they're doing this is to be spiteful to Aretha. This is them doing stuff out of spite. When you look at the trailer, number one, Cynthia Erivo looks absolutely nothing like Aretha Franklin. Her vibe is not like Aretha Franklin. Her aura is not like Aretha Franklin. Her body is not like Aretha Franklin. There's absolutely nothing about Cynthia Erivo that gives Aretha Franklin vibes. I mean, zero. Nothing about her. It makes zero sense for them to cast Cynthia Erivo as Aretha Franklin. But what this movie, the TV movie, looks like is going to be one of those Ike Turner, Bigger Long movies. They're just going to use that to facilitate some Black man Ike Turner bullshit where they're going to Ike Turner all the Black men. It kind of has that vibe. And Aretha Franklin would not have been down with that at all. Aretha Franklin was very adamant, not only about how her life story was going to be portrayed, because she was negotiating for years about how they were going to do a life story. So I'm thinking there's probably some resentment towards Aretha from these white producers, because Aretha Franklin, let me tell you something about our sister. Aretha Franklin was not nobody's punk. Aretha Franklin was nobody's damn bed wench. Just, that's another thing, having a damn bed wench portray her is offensive. Aretha was nobody's goddamn bed wench. Aretha Franklin gave them white folks the business. She wanted her money. She wanted her shit done the right way. Aretha Franklin was a rider. So she was negotiating for years about her movie and the movie portraying her life. She probably was getting a big bag out of it. She probably getting some residuals. She was on her shit. So they probably have a lot of resentment towards her. And they're like, okay, she's dead now. Let's show this negress how we do. Yeah, she went and picked Jennifer Hudson for the theatrical release, but we'll undermine that movie by having a TV movie. See, they do little stuff like that. We got to understand how the white supremacist mind works. You understand? They do little spiteful ass stuff like that. They'll wait till you die and then really go in. Just like with Michael Jackson. They waited till Michael Jackson died and just really went in on him and put all these lying ass dudes on TV talking about what he did to him. Yeah, they do little sucker shit like that. So shame on all the Negroes. Shame on the Oprahs and all the Negroes who were in on that little Michael Jackson thing too. But we've called that out before. But again, family, they're bringing these people over here to undermine a lot of us. They're bringing people over to undermine what we do. They're bringing a lot of the tethers over to undermine what we do, and that brings us to people like Roland. Did y'all see Roland making excuses for Kamala Harris, talking about what Kamala Harris can't damn do? I gotta play y'all that clip of Roland talking about Kamala Harris and how she can't do anything about our tangibles. Now, let me play this clip. Hold on. Let me find this clip of Roland Martin talking about, hold on, y'all bear with me one second. Let me play this clip. Let me find it real quick. Hold on one second. Okay, hold on. Now, this is Roland Martin talking about what Kamala Harris cannot do. I'm getting an echo here. Hold on. Now, this is Roland Martin. Now, listen to this. Tell me what she can't do.
Black people, all these people out here that, I love it when they love playing this clip where Kamala says, I'm not going to do anything that's specifically for black people. Because they can't. You have to, you literally cannot pass, like when somebody says, well, you know, this bill was passed for the gays. Somebody on YouTube said that. First of all, you can pass a bill when you say LGBT, that mean black gay, white gay, Asian gay, Latino gay, exactly. That mean gay, exactly. Okay? That mean gay. You cannot pass a race-specific bill.
What about Asians, Roland? They did pass a race-specific bill for Asians.
All y'all folks who be saying all this nonsense because y'all listen to too many other black people who yap their mouth on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube who will not tell you what the federal law is, how the Supreme Court has already ruled. Which is why policymakers have to craft language that actually goes to affected groups or disaffected groups at disproportionately us. So, perfect example.
Okay, Roland is full of it, guys. This is your guy, Roland, who's full of it. Roland is full of it. Family, they made an executive order specifically to combat racism against Asians. They got racism and Asians right there in the mix. They got an executive order to combat racism against Asians, to give Asians protective status against racism. They have an executive order for that. And Roland just got on TV and told y'all a big old lie that we can't do nothing. But we got to use this language. We can't do it. See, they put these Sambos and Coons out here to be the crash dummies to spread lies for them. See, this is what the Democrats do. They get these tethers like Roland's big ass to run out here and spread the lies for them. See, this is the con game and the trick bag they serve us up with. You see? They get out here and tell, because Roland has zero credibility anyway. So it's nothing for Roland to go out here and lie. Roland has zero credibility with black people. Just old Sambos listen to Roland, but Roland ain't got no street cred or nothing. So if he goes out here lying his ass off, he don't really lose anything because nobody takes him seriously anyway. This is what the Republicans do too, by the way. They'll get Candace Owens to go out in there and spew a bunch of lies because nobody really takes Candace Owens seriously. White people don't really take her seriously. They know she's just a tool to promote their white supremacist views so they can hide behind her anti-black rhetoric. But they know white people don't take her seriously. Black people don't take her seriously. So nobody loses anything when she goes out there spewing that anti-black bullshit. Just like with Roland. Nobody takes Roland seriously. So he really doesn't lose anything to go out here and spew this stuff. But they'll have him do the spewing so they can point to that and say, hey, look, see what black people are saying about Kamala? Even black people are saying she can't do anything. That's a con game. If they could do it for Asians, they can do it for us. We're not going to let them sit up here and lie for the next 4 years. We're not going to let them play these types of games. So we're not going to unify with folks like this. I don't want to unify with these lying Sambos and these lying coons. Unity is overrated. See, these are the folks we're supposed to unify with. No, we're not going to be unifying with off-code people. We're not going to be unifying with these coon tethers. We're not going to be unifying with these buck dancing elderly Negroes. We're going to have to be around like-minded people, particularly foundational Black Americans, who are on the same page about empowerment. Those are the only people that I want to unify with right now. After we get ourselves together, then maybe we can take the show on the road. But right now, we're in a position where we have to really step our unity game up. And when I say unity, I mean us, foundational Black Americans, having a code where we're going to bring in resources and tangibles specifically for foundational Black Americans so that we can grow our communities economically, so that we can help our brothers and sisters who are foundational Black Americans who's homeless out here, that's all in the streets while everybody else is stepping over homeless Black people to get the resources from our tax dollars, where we're funding all of these DACA programs and DREAMer programs, we're funding non-citizens. I want those resources of our tax dollars. I want that going to Black Americans who's out here who really need that money, who need those resources. I don't want our money going to the white LGBT community who turns around and practices the same type of anti-Black racism that they've always practiced on foundational Black Americans. I don't want to fund more racists off the civil rights programs that our ancestors and our relatives fought for. Unity is overrated. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Sorry about the technical difficulties that we were having earlier, but we're making it do what it do. Again, you guys can bop this playback and flex that clap back, and I'm going to holler at you this weekend. I'll holler at you this Sunday on the regular YouTube vibe stream. I'll holler at y'all this weekend. Y'all be good.